नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय इमं स्वनिगमं ब्राह्मण अवैत्यमादनुष्ठितम् अतन्मे जशानम् ऐश्वर्यम् स्वस्मिन् भावं च केशवा इमं स्वनिगमं ब्राह्मण अवैत्यमादनुष्ठितम् अतन्मे जशानम् ऐश्वर्यम् स्वस्मिन् भवाम च केशवः इमं स्वनिगमं ब्राह्मण अवैत्यमादनुष्ठितम् अतन्मे जशानम् ऐश्वर्यम् स्वस्मिन् भावं च केशवः प्लीज चैंट Vaishnavi. Ladies, please. Ladies, please. Ladies, okay, the male who is anyone else? Synonyms: Imam, thus, Svanigamam, confidential knowledge of the Vedas, in respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahman, O Brahmana, Vyasadeva, Evitya, knowing it well, mut, by me, Anushtitam, executed a dot bestowed upon me, may me jishanam transcendental knowledge, aishvaryam opulence, sasmin personal bhavam intimate affection and love, cha and keshavaha Lord Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Brahman, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with His intimate loving service. So He's obtained three blessings, three benedictions, and that He is Narada Muni, who happens to be narrating this to Vyasadeva. And he's telling his story of how he slowly advanced on the path of spiritual life. Please repeat, O Brahman, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with His intimate loving service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. I'll repeat that. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. It is a completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. By such pure contact with the Lord, without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10, the devotee can rise above the material plane to understand the inner meaning of the Vedic literatures, including the Lord's existence in the transcendental realm. The Lord reveals His identity gradually to one who has unflinching faith both in the spiritual master and in the Lord. After this, the devotee is endowed with mystic opulences, which are 8 in number. And above all, the devotee is accepted in the confidential entourage, his inner circle, of the Lord, and is entrusted with specific service of the Lord through the agency of the spiritual master. A pure devotee is more interested in serving the Lord than in showing an exhibition of the mystic powers dormant in him. Sri Narada has explained all these from his personal experience, and one can obtain all the facilities which Sri Narada obtained by perfecting the chanting process of the sound representation of the Lord. I'd like to read that again because it's absolutely amazing. Narada has explained all these from his personal experience, and one can obtain all the facilities which Sri Narada obtained by perfecting the chanting processes. So this, his greatness, his glory, his wonder, his bhakti, his purity, all this can be obtained through this chanting process of sound representation of the Lord. There is no bar for chanting this transcendental sound by anyone, provided it is received through Narada's representative coming down by the chain of disciplic succession or the parampara system. Amagina timirandasya gananjana chalakaya chakshur unmulitam yena tasmai shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. And I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of all the devotees here and everywhere who may be listening. Again, it is my privilege and pleasure to serve you, and I beg for your prayers that I may say something useful and beneficial for everyone concerned, including myself. So Narada Muni is explaining three aspects of advancement in spiritual life. And I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, he says. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that this is very important, especially in the beginning. To achieve this, what I just mentioned, that he was inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, that was the first thing. And as mentioned here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that involves the transcendental sound vibration, or the, as we know it, the chanting of Hare Krishna, which is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. It's a completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. Why is it perfect? Well, the Lord has invested himself in his very name. And in that name contains, when we say the Lord, we also mean his omnipresence, his omniscience, his omnipotence, all his infinite qualities, his power, his six opulences of beauty and wealth and strength, his fame, his renunciation, his power, strength. All this and so much more is contained in those 16 words. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is natural to consider these 16 words, which basically is coming from our voice, which is a sound, and sound is a material expression. Nonetheless, what makes this so unique is that within this material expression of our voice is the entire Lord of transcendence. That is amazing. That is awesome. It's unbelievable. It makes you scratch your head and wonder, can it really be so? So, therefore, Krishna has given this amazing opportunity, as he mentions in the Shikshastika, that in that holy name is all this power. Someone may say, well, how can you contain, how can you compress, how can you put into a sound so much which I just described, all the infinite power and praise and pleasure and blissfulness and sweetness and all of those things. How could you do that? So the question, if we wanted to give it some degree of a, you might say, a gross analogy, is if you think of an atomic bomb. An atomic bomb is not much bigger than a football. It's very small. But contained within it is an amazing amount of power in that little space. And when it's set off, when it's ignited, as we all know from the past, the Second World War, when it was ignited and when it was dropped, it was able to literally destroy two cities, one Hiroshima and the other was Nagasaki. And thousands of people were killed with that one blast. In that little football, how can it be? The Lord has amazing powers at his disposal. And in his name, he has billions and trillions and zillions more power. And it's all accessible. It's all available to us. But the question is, how do you get it? So one may say, well, as it's mentioned, just chant it. But there are many different ways of chanting. We can chant in such a way that we actually, as I just mentioned a little earlier, take it for granted that these are just, you know, material sounds, and you just chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just like I say, hey, how's everything going? So, boss, everything okay? Temple running all right? I mean, it almost takes on the same ordinariness of my speech, and that's where the problem comes. It's not ordinary. It's offensive to consider the Supreme Lord ordinary. It's offensive to consider, especially the pure devotee of the Lord, such as Srila Prabhupada, ordinary. He's not ordinary. We wouldn't be here if he was ordinary. We wouldn't have this temple if he was ordinary. We wouldn't have all these books if he was ordinary. He's anything but ordinary. He's pure. He's perfect. He's glorious. He's majestic. He's amazing. He's awesome. Anybody got a dictionary? You want to give me a few more? So he is that. He's all that. You could go on. Look at Sheshanag. He's still going on glorifying Krishna. He can't come to the end. And actually, the same thing would be with Srila Prabhupada. You can't come to the end because he's manifesting Krishna's glories. So therefore, there's a tendency, as I was just mentioning, to take the spiritual master as ordinary because we have normal, ordinary speech. How's everything going? Is everything working out all right? How was the prasadam? Was it kind of ordinary talk. So then when we start to think with the spiritual master, I just enumerated a whole batch of qualities and powers. When he's all that, then we have to kind of step back a step for a moment and say, well, wait a minute. You can't just express yourself to the spiritual master in such a manner that signifies that he's just an ordinary person. So there should be some sense and feeling of some reverence and some awe at his greatness. And actually, when we approached Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would come in, everybody would go down to the floor. You could hear boom, 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 boom. It was amazing. And then we would get up and we'd all have our palms together, and hardly anybody would want to say anything. We would be waiting for Srila Prabhupada to speak, because why should we say anything when really he possesses all the wisdom, the enlightenment, the glory, the goodness, the sweetness that our souls are just crying for, craving for, yearning for. So we didn't say anything. And then Prabhupada would smile, and he would offer his pranams to us. And then he would start to speak. And we would just, you might say, pour over each one of his words, because he was not an ordinary person. All these wonderful books were coming. That's not an ordinary person. Similarly, we need to train our minds. I'm involved in this process day and night. I keep descending into the horrible aspect of chanting, like just as if it were an ordinary sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wait. Not ordinary sound. Should have. It's God. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So it's more, it's not ordinary. Reverence, awe, respect, honor, glorification, distinction, appreciation, all these should be within our emotional expression. And if we have these kind of feelings in it, this is the expression of our love. And when Krishna sees that we're not merely chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, or Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the different ways in which one can chant without any feeling, without any love, without any appreciation, without any glorification, without a sense that this is a great person to whom I am addressing these words, namely the Supreme Lord. So when we chant that way, it comes out differently. I sometimes shudder at my own bad chanting, but then when I sometimes hear the chanting going on in the temple, and I hear some of the devotees say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what were they calling their mother? Mama, 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 mama? This is not mama, it's Rama, 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 not mama, mama, mama. And I want to go over to the devotee and say, hey, wait, this is not for your mama. Your mama, she's in wherever. I don't want to mention. You'll know who I'm talking about. So, no, this is not that. It means he's not concentrating on the sound, and he's not concentrating on the feeling. He's not counting on the meaning. It's all ordinary. That's offensive chanting, to not chant with concentration and without chanting with the not only the rules and regulations, but to have a sense of feeling of its greatness and what we're receiving. We're receiving such mercy. We're getting all the compassion, the kindness, the sweetness, the love. All that's coming from the holy name. And if we are, shouldn't we feel indebted? Shouldn't we feel beholden? Shouldn't we feel that we owe something as a result of receiving this? This is what Prabhupada is hammering into us, purport after purport after purport. You're getting God. You're getting His mercy. You're getting His glory. You're getting His love. You're getting His sweetness. You're getting His kindness. You're getting His understanding. You're getting all this and so much more. You owe Him. So what does that Krishna ask? He doesn't ask us to go out and earn $1,000,000 and give it to the temple. All He asks is to chant His name with our heart, with some feeling, with some love, and with appreciation, with a sense of gratitude. And if we do that, the blessings, the benefits that come to us are incalculable. We can't even estimate them. On the other hand, if we chant in a way in which we signifies that the holy name is just another sound, an ordinary sound coming out of our vocal cords, you get very little benefit. You get benefit. Anytime you chant the holy name, there's benefit. But when it's chanted with offensiveness, according to Haridas Thakur, even the benefits are not immediately manifested. He said those benefits are held in abeyance. They're held in check, so to speak. They don't manifest until we begin to chant purely. At that point, when we chant purely, all the benefits that are implicit in the holy name, which come to us, you know, peacefulness and blissfulness and understanding and knowledge and all the things, being able to read the Bhagavatam, being able to interact with the Supreme Lord, as Prabhupada says, communication with the Lord. When all that begins to take place because of a purer, we go through different stages. First there's a cloudy stage of chanting. Then there's a clearing stage of chanting. Then there's the clear stage of chanting. It's overcast. And then the overcast begins to lift. And then when the overcast completely lifts, there's the sunshine in the clear blue sky. So when we are chanting in that way, whatever offenses we committed while chanting the holy name, there was some benefit, some merit. So those merits, according to Haridas Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani, they're added to the merits that we get from chanting purely or even in the clearing stage. So nothing goes to waste. That's the important point. But we may not manifest the peacefulness, the strength, the love, the kindness, and the goodness and the certainty of these teachings, the faithfulness that comes from all this. So, therefore, the important point that I wanted to bring here is that, as it's mentioned, and this kind of almost floored me a little bit, where Srila Prabhupada says, basically, he says, by chanting this holy name properly, chanting it with feelings, chanting it with love, chanting it with concern, chanting with sense of indebtedness, of gratitude, if you do all that, he's mentioning here, you can become like Narada Muni. That's what it says over here. Narada Muni, by the way, is an incarnation of bhakti, an incarnation of pure love of God. His love is so incredible that just by speech, he could go over to a complete brute and change the brute, who's like basically an animal, change the brute gradually into a saint. We all know the story, or maybe some of us know the story of Magari the hunter. Magari was a hunter. That's what he did for his living. He would not only go out and shoot rabbits and shoot deer and shoot whatever was available. He didn't just shoot them, but he shot them in a way which would be fatal, but not immediately. You shoot him in the heart, he dies immediately. You shoot him in the leg, he may die slowly. He liked to shoot them so that they died gradually. Gradual dying is painful, it's torturesome, and it's horrible. So Narada Muni was walking through the woods and he saw this Magari doing this, and he approached him and he said, "Sue, do you know what you're doing?" So he's like, "Yes." He said, "I'm hunting." He says, "I know that you're hunting, but look what you did. Don't you understand? Don't you know that when you kill these animals, you're going to be killed just like these animals in the future?" He says, "Really?" He said, "Yes. Well, my father never taught me that." He says, "Well, I'm teaching it to you. And what is worse is that it's sinful enough to kill the animals unnecessarily. But it's even more sinful when you almost kill them and leave them to die slowly in a painful, torturesome manner." He says, I never knew that. So Narada Muni says, "Don't you think it's time to stop doing this so that your future will be brighter?" He said, "Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to make a living?" He said, "If you just do what I tell you to do, you won't have to worry about making a living and getting your life taken care of." He said, "Well, what should I do?" He says, "What you do, get your wife and your family, and put up a little cottage at the side of the river, and that's where you'll stay, and you'll chant God's holy name." He says, "Where's my food going to come from?" "Don't worry about your food. When you chant God's holy name, you appeal to his heart. When you appeal to the heart of the Lord, he looks after his devotees, his child. And he makes sure that the child will eat." So anyway, he followed the instructions because Narada Muni's purity in his voice was so persuasive. It was so pervasive. It touched the heart. It reached the depth of this particular brute. And he felt that, well, why not try it? Sounds like an easier deal than going out and killing animals. So he did that. And then what happened is that as soon as he started, people started bringing foods from all over. And all he was doing is chanting. He was chanting the holy name. I didn't say in the scripture which mantra it was, but Narada Muni is known for giving Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, at least to Dhruva Maharaj, so it's very possible that he gave him that. So anyway, this is what happened, and he was chanting, and he never worried about food, because Narada Muni gave him that faith through his speech, that you won't have to worry, God's going to look after you, he's going to take care of you. And you don't have to do all this. And you can have a better future. A future not in this world, but in a higher world, a spiritual world, where everything is just expressing or sharing of love through devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So that went on for quite a while. And a few years later, Narada Muni came with his friend Parvat Muni. Parvat Muni was another great sage. So they came and they were about 50 yards away from the kutiro, the cottage where Magari, had set up shop, so to speak, shut up home. And Magari was outside and he saw his guru, Narada Muni, coming about 50 yards away, I'm approximating, with this other sage. So he wanted to immediately run and throw himself at the feet of the sage because, after all, he was feeling such happiness, such peacefulness, such strength. A whole new character had taken over his personality so that he was joyful. He was blissful. He was happy from this chanting day in and day out. So what happened? He wanted to run, but he didn't run. So he started to tiptoe like, so he's walking very slowly, very, very carefully, very thoughtfully. So when he finally reached Narada Muni and Parvatmani. He threw himself at the feet, and then he gradually came up. So, first thing Narada Muni is saying, why were you walking in such a... He knew why, but he wanted to hear it from him. Whether he had something wrong with his foot. You know, you could have a cut, you can have a sprained ankle, so many things. So he said, why were you walking in such a kind of awkward way, you know, tiptoeing it? He said, I looked at the ground, and when I looked at the ground, I saw all these ants. They were all over the place. So I wanted to be sure, if possible, that I wouldn't step on the ants because I didn't want to kill them. Here was a man who was killing rabbits and who was killing deer and buffalo and you name it, and he didn't want to touch an ant. He didn't want to kill them. He had that much compassion, that much understanding, that much love, that much kindness, that much sweetness, as compared to the brutish, barbaric, savage nature that he had previously. Just see the transformation that Narada Muni was able to effect just through a few beautiful, kind, sweet, transcendental words which penetrated, pervaded deep into the heart of this brute and made a transformation of at least to come to the point of, let's see what happens. I mean, if we could do that, you know, talk to a few people and bring them to the point of, let's see what happens, and they start chanting, and they do it day after day after day, well, they might turn into this Mogari, who was very, very joyful and happy. So, therefore, he explained this. And he had told Parvatmuni what the story was in the past. And he said, just see the value, see the greatness, see the glory of this holy name when it is chanted properly. And that's the point. Chanting properly, chanting with love, chanting with kindness, chanting with sweetness, chanting with gratitude, chanting as if we are nothing and Krishna is everything. We are nobody and Krishna is somebody. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, Lord Chaitanya says, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is the point. Why constantly? Anybody ever wonder about why? Because when we chant the holy name in a proper way, we begin to feel the transcendental bliss, the transcendental peace, the transcendental strength, the transcendental love. We feel what we're supposed to feel. The connection with Krishna, the joyfulness of that exchange. And we feel in our true sense, our true being. Everyone is supposed to be happy, and everyone is searching for happiness in the external world, but never finding any except that which is temporary or transitory, and which does not bring any fulfillment at all. So, therefore, misery, and misery, and misery. And how do you deal with misery? You deal with it through drugs, you deal with it through alcohol, you deal with it through different types of pills and potions and whatnot. There's an epidemic going on right now of OxyContin. That's a morphine-based drug. Epidemic. Ohio. And a number of other places. In the country, we're talking about people who are middle class and even lower upper class people who have families, who have college education, some of them with MAs and even PhDs, but because they didn't, you know, you're miserable, you're depressed, you're feeling tension, you're feeling uncertainty, anxiety, all this, and so you take this and it gives you a rush. And you say, well, that felt good. And then you go, 10, and again, before you know it, these are, by the way, legal. You buy them in drugstores. So the U.S. government, which gets the taxes from the drugstores, they're in competition with the old-time drug dealers who used to do it, you know, in the black market. So therefore, they're taking the business away from the bad guys and becoming the new bad guys, the U.S. government. I'll probably be lynched for saying this. When I can come out, there'll probably be a few cops waiting for me there. So, but the point is, it's a fact. A person can go to 5 different doctors and get a prescription for OxyContin, which is a drug for painkiller, and go to 5 different pharmacies and get it. And then what happens is what's happening in these cities that I mentioned is that the persons are ODing on a weekly basis. 27 to 29 people are ODing. OD means to overdosing. And the overdose means you die, generally, unless you get saved soon enough. So normal, ordinary people who have good educations, who have families, what's happening is that they're dying. It's mentioned in the population statistics that for the last two years, the population has gone down. People are dying 2 years sooner than previously. And that is because people are now dying from overdoses of these drugs. Can you imagine? People were living 70, 73, 74 due to technology. Now people are not living as long as they were before. So we all have an opportunity to share these wonderful teachings with as many people as possible. We should think of our own past, our difficulties, our tribulations, our problems, the pressures, the tensions, the stresses that we ourselves experience, and try to understand what others are experiencing, how painful it is, how uncertain their lives are, how insecure it is, so insecure that they don't have any sense of selfhood anymore. Where do you put yourself? You put yourself into some team. Okay, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I feel worthless, so how do I feel like I have some strength or some power or some anything? Well, I identify myself with some football team. Just give an example, football team. So many people are identifying with the Philadelphia Eagles and so many for the Boston Patriots. So when the Boston Patriots were up, they were up. When the Patriots were down, they were down. Can you imagine your emotional makeup is depending upon the ups and downs of some team, which is nothing but a batch of guys who happen to wear a jersey of a certain color, and that's your identity? That's an identity? That's madness. It truly is. Real identity is to know who we really are, namely the self. The chanting of the holy name enables us to come to that realization that we are the soul within. And being the soul within, our business is to serve the Supreme Lord, love the Supreme Lord, worship the Supreme Lord, as Narada, Prahlad Maharaj mentions. And by so doing, we will be happy, we will be fulfilled, we will be satisfied, and we will be ecstatic, the result of which will be we will, wherever we go, to whomever we speak, we will be able to share this happiness instead of the misery that's going on today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any comments or any questions or anything to add to what I've said? Please feel free to do so. Yes, Prabhuji.
There are two numbers in the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's purpose.
Two what?
Two number. One is 10, another is 8.
The three part? The three things? That
There are two number. One is 10 and another is 8. Can you explain a little bit more about those two number?
He said there's two numbers, 10 and 8, that Prabhupada mentioned in the purport.
Yes.
10 and 8?
Yeah. One is 10 and another is 8.
I don't see any 10 or 8 number here. If you want to look for them, you can find them. Tell me what they said. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place. I mean, I have everything right down here. And here's 2, here's 3. I'm sorry to hold you all up, but You please chant Hare Krishna while you're waiting. Are you sure it's today's class?
Yes.
Okay.
I found one.
Okay.
18 number.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay, after this, the devotee is endowed with mystic opulences, which are 8 in number. So, I'll give you examples, some of them. Okay, a person may make himself a... You want to know what they mean, the 8? Prabhu? Did you want to know what the 8 mean? I'll let you find 10. Huh? Yeah, I was just about to explain that, but he said he gave another number, and I haven't paid him. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you know the answer. You want to know what they mean? Okay. Well, by such pure contact with the Lord, without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10 offenses, we sing them every day, every morning. The 10, you know, to not commit offenses against the. Devotees who are, to not make offenses against the devotional literature. But you know the 10 that we say every morning. Okay, is that clear? I don't have to go through all of those. Or did you want me to do that? One, to blaspheme the devotees who've dedicated. Okay, it's getting late. So now, so then we have the eight endowed with mystic opulence, which are 8 in number. I'll just give a few of them. Not necessary to go. I don't even remember all of them. But one of them is to be make oneself as small, smaller than the smallest. Like, for example, Hanuman, he was a normal size, but when he had to go into Lanka, he made himself tiny, just like a little kitten. Okay? So that's a mystical opulence. Or one, he also made himself as large as a mountain. That's a second mystic opulence. A third mystic opulence is a person who can fly in the sky, and he also did that. So there are 3 mystic opulences. Another mystic opulence is one puts his hand out and simply wishes for a mango to appear on it, and the mango appears on it. Okay? So that's 4. One can travel wherever one wants to without any hindrance or impedance and without any particular form of transportation. Just wish to go there, whoosh, and he's there. Okay, so those are, you can find the 10 in the Bhagavatam, just look, or look in your computer or your cell phone. All you have to do is look up on under 10 mystic powers. 8 mystic powers. There are actually more than 8, but the 8 that are mentioned that are available to the general sadhu are mentioned there. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, he demonstrated certain mystic powers. His body elongated and so forth. He was able to live underwater. You see, he stayed underwater for a half hour, like that yogi who used to stay underwater and meditate. He saw the fish, you see, and that's not normal. You die after 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5, you drown. But with this mystic power, you can go into the fire and not be burned. So those are the 8 mystic powers. Does that clear it up for you?
Thank you very much.
Sorry, I couldn't find it immediately. Yeah. Anyone else have a point on? And it's mentioned very clearly, we should not strive for these things. They make a big hit, you know, but they don't lead to anything. Look at Ravan, he had all those powers. Look at Hiranyakashipu, he had all those powers. Look at all the, and Naimasharanya, yeah, all those demons, they had these powers, they could fly. But what was the result? The result was ultimate misery. They were destroyed by the virtue of either the Lord himself or his representatives, like Hanuman, you see, or Sugriva. All the monkeys, they destroyed the whole of Lanka and all of those captains and all of those soldiers. Although they were well armed, the monkeys, all they had is branches and boulders, but they won anyway. When you have the mercy of God, you can't lose. So that was the main point. If you get mystic powers and Krishna says, okay, use it for this, then you use it. But our business is not putting on shows. You might say, well, a lot of people, they'll come and they'll see, you know, I can put a mango, make it appear. People will say, I don't have to go and buy mangoes anymore. So therefore, that's that. Okay, class dismissed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I'll be talking about that on Saturday.